Take your Bibles if you would. Matthew 16. From that time forth began Jesus to show unto his disciples how that he must go into Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed and be raised again the third day. Then Peter took him and began to rebuke him, saying, "Be it far from thee, Lord, this shall not be unto thee." But he turned and said unto Peter, "Get thee behind me, Satan. Thou art an offense unto me, for thou savorest not the things that be of God and those that be of men." Then said Jesus unto the disciples, "If any man will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross and follow me. For whosoever will lose his life, whosoever shall save his life shall lose it. And whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it. For what is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? For the Son of Man shall come in his glory, in the glory of his Father with his angels, and then he shall reward every man according to his works." We'll take just a minute this morning. And I want you to notice four E's in the outline. Number one, Jesus explained the will of God for his life. And number two, Peter loved Jesus and expected better things for him than to die. And we must learn to exempt ourselves from all thinking except spiritual thinking. And we should be excited because there's an eternal reward for doing God's way and God's will. All those are in this passage. I want you to take note. Number one, Jesus explained the will of God for him, the will of his Father. You'll notice he had to go to Jerusalem. Now, Jerusalem was a dangerous place because that was the hotbed of all the scribes and Pharisees. And they hated Jesus because everywhere Jesus went, crowds followed. Huge crowds. They were jealous. And they thought he was an imposter, fake. But you know the amazing thing? They knew he was from Galilee. But no one checked the records to see where he was born. And all they had to do was do that. But they didn't want to know he was from Bethlehem of Judea. If they would have found that out, it would have given more credence to the fact that this was the Messiah. But they didn't want to know that. So Jerusalem hated Jesus Christ. So you'll notice he said in verse 21 that he must go into Jerusalem. Well, the disciples were like, "Why do you have to go to Jerusalem? It's dangerous for you there. You could get killed there." You'll notice he said, "Look, I've got to go there. Because if you would," he said, "this is really what the plan of God for me is." And you'll notice he said, "From that time forth began Jesus to show unto his disciples." So he told them over and over and over again. So why were they shocked when he rose from the dead? He just told them he was going to. He told them on the third day. He laid everything out for them. He said, "I'm going to be killed." He didn't say how, but they get a read Psalm 22 and realized it was by crucifixion. If you have your Bible, turn to me if you would. Psalm 22. I want you to see this. Notice with me if you would. Now this psalm is written almost 1,000 years before Jesus dies on the cross. And the form of punishment here was stoning. So he said, verse number 14, "I am poured out like water. All my bones are out of joint," which is what happens when you're hanging on the cross. "My heart is like wax." How would you know that? But Jesus' heart was like water. "It is melted in the midst of my bowels." Whenever he was, the spear was thrust into his side, blood and water came out. "My strength is dried up like a potsherd. My tongue cleaveth to my jaws. Thou hast brought me into the dust of death. You don't get thirsty when you're being stoned. Notice verse 16. For the dogs have compassed me, the assembly of the wicked have enclosed me, and they pierced my hands and my feet. Now, how would anybody know? But the psalmist David, under inspiration, penned the words that my hands and feet would be pierced. So you and I can have some evidential proof that the scriptures are true because it's describing Jesus Christ. Notice, if you would, verse 17. I may tell all my bones. They look and stare at me. A bone out of joint, you can just see it. It looks broken. Notice verse 18. They part my garments among them and cast lots upon my vesture. They don't do that when you're stoned. You're under a pile of rocks. So it's like the Lord Jesus is saying in the Old Testament, I'm giving you all that's going to happen. All the disciples had to do was one of them go and check and read the Old Testament. And they would have figured out that the Messiah had to die. Now, notice with me, if you would, in this passage, he even explained, I'm going to die. Notice, if you would, in verse number 21, at the hands of the chief priests and scribes and the elders. I'm going to suffer many things from them. I'm going to hurt. Speaking of perhaps the flogging that he received, the scourging. He explained it to them. Notice, and be killed. He told them he was going to die. Now notice, it was soon, because he said, from that time forth, Jesus began to show unto his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem. So they knew that time was short, but they loved Jesus. They loved traveling with him. This is the end of his 3-year teaching ministry. And they loved traveling with him because they were able to see people saved. They were able to see demons cast out. They were able to see the weather change. The storm ceased. They were able to see dead men raised. They saw miracle after miracle after miracle. They could go into a village and everybody bring their loved ones and everybody would go home healed. It was like, wow, we don't want this to end. But they didn't realize the reason he came. It just didn't get into their thoughts. Notice, if you would, verse 22. Then Peter took him and began to rebuke him, saying, be it far from thee, Lord, this shall not be unto thee. Lord, we need you. Now you can see here, Peter loved Jesus and expected better things for Jesus. Lord, why would you go and to die in Jerusalem? Why would you have to go and then have to raise yourself from the dead? Why would you do that? It naturally caused him to want to have what's best for Jesus because he loved him. And if you love somebody, you don't want them to hurt. You want them to be healthy and well. We all pray for that. But I don't think we realize that God's will sometimes is for us to hurt and suffer. That we might get stronger in our faith and other people get stronger in their faith. Now, in this circumstance, you'll notice Peter didn't consider the Father's will. He didn't consider why Jesus came. He didn't even think about maybe God's will is different than mine. He didn't think of it. And that's the reason Jesus said to him, look, in verse 23, he turned and said unto Peter, get thee behind me, Satan, for thou an offense to me, for thou savorest. Now, the word savor is the word phroneo. It literally is your thinking is not like mine. It has the word phroneo is the word for thoughts. It's the mind. You're not thinking right. And that's really what I wanted to speak to you about this morning. Are we thinking right? Are we thinking, I just want the will of God in my life. I just want to do what God's will is. Now, a teenager can easily say that. You know, a teenager might say, well, I want to make sure that I go to the right college. I want to make sure that I marry the right person. I want the will of God for my life. I want to get the right job. I want the will of God for my life. But it's not just that. Once you and I are out and we're on our own, The will of God is I want to do it every day. I want to think right every day. I want to speak to the right people. Do you understand that everybody is here on this earth for a purpose? Every day for a purpose. And that's the reason why you might be able to give a tract to someone. This yesterday, I had a visit. We were in here working in the buildings, and I so appreciate all the guys that chipped in. Brother Walter and 8 or 10 other guys came in and helped, and they put fiber optics throughout the building and wired up the nursery. So now if you watch in the nursery, you can go in the nursery to watch a child, you can watch on the big screen and see the service. So it's a great blessing. And it makes everything much more efficient. Lord willing, the live streaming should be infinitely better, at least consistency-wise. And so I appreciate those guys coming in and doing that. Well, I had to make a visit. And so it's a good ways away. I went and made the visit after helped the guys for a little bit. And then I was at the house, and I got, maybe 2 o'clock, 1:30, 2 o'clock. And I had my sunglasses on and looked down at my regular glasses, and the nose piece was broken off and it was bent. So what is that? I don't know if I did it in here, but how do I read my Bible? So I went out and dug an old setup. And I had the old set of glasses, and I got them at Costco. So I said, I got to get out and go to Costco and get them turned in. And maybe I can get them back in a week or so. So I went and turned them in. I said, walked up, and there was this young man behind the counter. How can I help you? And I says, well, look, these glasses, you see them? Oh, wow, how'd you do that? Don't know. And I said, but I'm a pastor, and I need to read my Bible in public. And I can't read them without glasses. I can see fine, but I can't read. He says, oh, well, let me see what I can do. So he goes over and takes one of the sample pairs of glasses, just like mine out, pops the lens out, puts my lens in, says, here, have a good day. We can't have a pastor not be able to read his Bible, can we? Now, I reach, you know what? No tracks. So Monday, I'm going back to the young man and take that tract to him. But I just felt, and I said, oh, Lord, why did I go without my, I had a T-shirt on. I'd been out doing stuff. And so I said, oh, my goodness. And I'm thinking, why did my glasses break? Well, I know why. I didn't know why at the time. And so, you know, I look at it and say, oh, Lord, these glasses, I need my glasses, Lord. How can I? It won't look too cool when I go in my sunglasses so I can read my Bible on Sunday morning. That won't look too good, Lord. And then, but I had no idea that they could get it done in one day, in 10 minutes. And so, yet I see that there's a young man that needs a chance to hear the truth. And he was sympathetic to the gospel. And so I'm just encouraging all of us to realize your plan may not be God's plan. And that's the reason why sometimes the Lord allows things to happen in our life. Maybe you have an accident and the Lord has you the opportunity of witness to the person that ran into you, made the mistake. We have to be so careful. Nothing in our lives is an accident. God is ready to use every one of us. Now, folks, that's why I want to encourage you whenever you are a stay-at-home mom or you get close to retirement, don't plan, I'm just going to retire and relax and take care of me. You're here for a purpose. Make a difference. Get involved. Get involved in Awanas. Get involved in VBS. Carry tracts with you. Try to be a testimony. Be a light wherever you go. You've got to buy tires. You've got to buy food. Be a light. I know that COVID has shut a lot of that down. And I'm certain the old devil's behind it. But my point to you is that we're here for a purpose, and your plan may not be God's plan. But we get up in the morning and say, Lord, not my will, but thine be done. That's the Lord's prayer. That's what Jesus said. When you pray, pray this. Not my will, but thine be done. Peter didn't pick that up. Notice, if you would, He even became an offense, a stumbling block. Someone that calls Jesus a stumbling block, potentially. They are an offense to me. You and I have to be so careful that we don't make ourselves offensive to the Lord. And Peter was trying to be loving. So you and I can try to be good and kind and loving to the Lord and be totally out of His will. Unless we, Lord, not my will, but thine be done. Now, notice if you would, the will of God should be the first thing that any of us think of. We get up, Lord, not my will, but thine be done. Give me my our daily bread. Give me my daily bread, Lord, and help me to do your will. I just want to encourage you. Peter didn't seek the will of God. Notice, if you would, we must learn to exempt ourselves from thinking like that. And Jesus tells him how. Notice, if you would, in verse number 24. Then said Jesus unto his disciples, all of them, if any man will come after me, in other words, if you want to follow the Lord, if you want to be in God's will, let him deny himself. The first thing we have to do is not think of what we need or what we want first. Not think of what me and my family need first. We don't think of what me and my church needs first. He said, let him deny himself. Say no, Lord, not my will today, but thine be done when we get up in the morning. Do we do that? It's a simple thought process. Lord, not my will today, but yours be done. Oh, I got a flat tire. Lord, I don't know what you're doing, but I know you're doing something. Oh, my glasses are broken. Lord, I don't know what you're doing, but I know you're doing something. Do you understand that the Lord has you here for a purpose? And you cannot say, well, Lord, I'm busy. I've got things on my calendar. You and I get up in the morning and say, Lord, help me to put on my calendar what you want. Not my will, but thine be done. Peter did not do that. Notice, if you would, in verse 23, he said, thou savorest, thou thinkest not, thou considerest not the things that be of God. You don't consider God's will first. And folks, that's the lesson of this passage. Thou savorest not the things that be of God. All of us can do that with our finances. We can. That's the reason why whenever, you know, it shouldn't be that just once a year we sit down and say, Lord, how much do you want me to give to missions, Lord? And then set it up and turn in a faith promise card. We're done for the year. But Lord, in the mornings, Lord, help me to use the money you've given to me for your glory. Lord, help me to use it for your sake. It's important that you and I understand that don't think like men think. Notice what he says. Savors not the things that be of God. That's the first thing. You're not thinking about the Lord first. But notice, but those that be of men. What's best for men? Remember, he was trying to be good to Jesus. You can try to be good to someone. But the idea is first, Lord, what is it you want? And that's the reason it's important in that Lord's Prayer. He says, Lord, not my will, but thine be done. And I just urge you this morning, consider the Lord first. When you get up in the morning, consider the Lord first. When your glasses break, consider the Lord first. Whenever you have a car accident, consider the Lord first. Lord, I don't know what you're doing. You get an extra bill. Consider the Lord first. That's when you said, thou savorest not the things that be of God. It's the lesson of this passage. And you can't do that without first denying yourself. First, it's a mindset. I am not the most important person in this world. Lord, you are. How can I serve you? But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Now, notice if you would, first off, deny selves. Notice the second thing. If any man will, this is verse 24. If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross. Now, be willing to suffer. Be willing to go through some difficult times. Be willing. Jesus said, look, I've got to go to Jerusalem. It's dangerous there. I'm going to suffer there. I'm going to be mistreated there. And I'm going to die there. He was willing to pick up his cross and go forward with it. You and I have to be willing to do that. Now, listen to me. The Lord Jesus didn't want to go and die. We know that from his prayer in the garden. He got on his knees and said, "Oh, Father, if it be thy will, let this cup pass from me." But that was the purpose he had come. But he at no time took his purpose and put it before his Father's purpose. But you and I are willing or allowed to pray, "Lord, what about this and what about that? Lord, not my will, but thine be done." We must deny ourselves. We must be willing to suffer. But you'll notice, lastly, on exempting ourselves from unspiritual, worldly thinking, we must use God's measuring stick and think of it that way. Look at what he says. "And follow me." Okay? I'm going to follow the Lord. So what's important to the Lord? What things are important to the Lord? Well, for me to be clean, that's important to the Lord. For me to be a blessing, that's important to the Lord. But notice, verse 26, "For what is a man profited if he should gain the whole world?" He says, "Peter, don't forget, I'm here to win the world to Christ. I'm here to see people saved." He said, "What is a man profited if he gains the whole world but dies and goes to hell?" So you and I have to keep in the back of our minds, of all of our thinking, God loves that sinner. God loves this sinner. God loves that sinner. And I've got to keep in my mind that my glasses broke and that my car broke down and that I lost my job, and the Lord has got a plan. And Lord, which sinner can I be a blessing to? He could have been a blessing to Christ, but he wasn't. Follow me. He could have been right behind Christ and said, "Lord, I know you're going to suffer, but I'm asking the Father to bless you. I'm right here with you. Lord, I'll do whatever I can to help you, anything I can do to help." He could have been an encouragement to Christ. Notice what Christ said. Look in verse 24, "And follow me." Peter didn't follow the Lord. He followed afar off. He let Jesus go it alone. He was one of those 11 that fled in the garden. They all left him because he wasn't thinking right. He was thinking the thoughts of men. That's the reason when you read this passage and he says, but verse 23, "But those that be of men." Folks, the critical thing is we've got to learn to change our thoughts. We've got to learn to readjust our lives and say, "Lord, exempt me from thinking about my own things. Lord, not my will, but thine be done. Help me to deny myself." And then notice with me, if you would, he says this in verse number 27. He says this, "For the Son of Man shall come in the glory of his Father with his angels, and then he shall reward every man according to his works." Peter, one of these days, I'm going to reward you according to your works. So don't be an offense to me. Follow me. If any man follows me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and then follow me. Because you're not going to stick. You're not going to stay with me unless you learn to change your thinking. Savor us not. Look at the passage. Verse 23, "For thou savorest, thou thinkest not, thou art not considering the things that be of God." We must change that. Now, folks, he's given us the steps. Number one, deny yourself. Say, "You know, what I've got planned today is not most important." And then, "Lord, not my will, but thine be done." That's the way you begin to put the Lord first. You begin to think about the things of the Lord first. Oh, I know we have children to take care of, a job to go to. We've got to get our shower, get cleaned up. We've got to get in the car and get gas, get our cleaning, get food and all that stuff. But the key to it is the way we get up in the morning and we start our thinking. We get up in the morning, Lord, help me to deny myself today. Lord, don't let me put myself first. That's the first step of following Christ. And Peter messed up from this time all the way through till Jesus died. When he's at Caiaphas' house, he's being condemned, and Peter's outside. Jesus warned him three times, you're going to deny me. And on that third time, he knew that it was coming. He could see it all coming. But it's like Peter never took the first two things. Deny myself. What I want doesn't matter. What's best for people doesn't matter. Lord, what do you want? Lord, not my will, thine be done. And then you'll notice he says this in verse 27. He said, now, Peter, remember this. If you're having a hard time denying yourself, if you have a hard time putting the will of God first, and you're having a hard time, and he was, because you got to understand, whenever Jesus was taken, he's following afar off. He's trying to stay close enough to find out what's going on, but not close enough to get associated with Jesus Christ. That's not what a Christian does. We have to be careful. Our world is going so left. It's getting so far from Christ. They passed a law in the state of Virginia. A terrible law. Forcing all of the sexual things on hiring practices, trying to force the way we think about immorality, homosexuality, trying to force that on us. And we have to make a decision. I am not thinking the way of men. I'm going to think your thoughts. You have to be careful because we don't want to be associated with them. But Peter wanted to be close enough, but not too close. And then whenever he began to curse and to swear, it broke his heart. And then Jesus looked at him and caught his eye. Peter, if you can't deny yourself and you can't consider my will first, and you're not willing to suffer, you're not willing for me to suffer, Peter, would you just remind yourself that one of these days I'm going to reward you for everything good you do. I'm not going to miss a thing. So he appeals to him on all kinds of different levels. And the last one was, payday's coming. It's not in vain, Peter. I'm going to reward you. So you and I in this room, whenever we're struggling with certain things, it's so hard to do what's right. Remember, the Lord says, but I've got great rewards for you in heaven. I'm planning something special for you in heaven. Just for you, Dave Pittman, if you'll just be faithful, if you'll just deny yourself and you'll consider me first, Lord, not my will, but thine be done. He says, I've got rewards in heaven for you that I have not seen nor ear heard, just for you. Will you be faithful? Do you see, Jesus Christ is appealing on every level. Deny yourself. Put me first. Consider people. Every person is worth more than the world. And lastly, you know, remember, I've got a reward in heaven for you. You know, today, we ought to be excited about the future, all of us. I know things are difficult. I know that, you know, COVID is up and down, and I know that that our country is up and down. We're printing more money, and it's worth less and less and less, and inflation's happening. But the Lord says, look, I've got this. Remember, I'm coming back to get you. That's when he said, notice if you would, verse 27. For the Son of Man shall come in the glory of his Father with his angels. And then shall he reward every man according to his works. Don't forget, Jesus is coming. And that's what he told Peter. Peter, don't forget. Deny yourself. Oh, deny yourself, Peter. What do you want, Lord? Your will, not my will, be done. Look at the value of people, Peter. One person is worth more than the world. And Peter, payday's on its way. I'm coming to get you. And that's the same thing you can tell us today. So be thoughtful. Change your thought process this morning. Don't be like Peter. Thou savorest not the things that be of God. Let's bow forward in prayer. Father, today, I thank you for your word and the clarity of it. Lord, I am reminded how difficult it is to always think of the will of God first. Lord, when things happen, I'm sorry my first thought was when my glasses broke. Lord, I wonder what the Lord's going to do here. Lord, I just pray that you'd help us to think the things of God. In your name I pray. Amen.